What up, FIFA Tears, and welcome to the 3 Foot Tears podcast. Today, it is just me and Luke on today's podcast. Brad is unfortunately away, and here's just a little quick explainer from himself.
What's happening, guys? It's B-Rad, and yes, unfortunately, I am not there for the live podcast. Unfortunately, it's an oversight on my part. I usually record with the guys on a Monday night, as you know, and usually when I know I'm working on a Monday night, I let them know in advance and they are ever so accommodating and they move it to a Sunday night. However, this week I forgot until very late notice. When I let them know, I actually Sunday, you'll see why I'm in my golf kit up here at the moment, I'm actually out all day at a golf tournament on Sunday. So I didn't have time to let them know and also move it to any other day. So I'm having to come to you with a pre-recorded podcast, as it were. But Moses has given me some topics, so hopefully I'll be able to weigh in on those and hopefully you guys still enjoy it.
Thank you, Brad, for that. And Luke, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fairly well, you know. I'm doing fairly well, you know. Red picks not paying out, but other things have gone well.
Yeah, I mean, getting into the main subject of Liga and Team of the Season, which Brad has also supplied us with a little clip for us, talking about his thoughts and opinions on the Liga and Team of the Season. So here he is again.
So Liga and Tots has dropped, and I think possibly is the best Tots we've seen so far. I saved all my packs for the Liga and Tots. I have done a video on that. You can feel free to go check it out. And I got a couple. I was looking obviously for Neymar and Mbappe. Not really Messi, but if I'd have got him, I'd have been happy. Because those cards look insane. I mean, at this time on a Sunday, Mbappe is 5.2 million, Neymar 5.98 million. They look insane, the cards as well. Obviously, Neymar is the 5-star, 5-star. Mbappe is the 5-star, 4-star. And you've then got Ben Yedder at 2.25 million with a 4-star, 5-star as well. And they're the kind of top tier. And then even then, the next sort of level down are actually really decent looking cards. Lucas Paqueta, 1.33 million. Tchouameni, 722,000. Fofana, 220k. Guendouzi, 120k. Like, it's crazy as well that some of these lower priced ones actually look really good. Like Klaus's card looks insane for a right wing back, and he is going for 67k at the moment, which is just unbelievable. Terrier, for probably the most common packed player out of this promo, actually looks really usable. He's 4-star, 4-star. He does have medium work rates, and he is 6 foot, so he might not feel that great in game, but he has 98 pace, 93 shooting, 90 passing, 91 dribbling, and 85 physical. Like, those stats look insane. So I'm looking forward to using that card and trying him out in sort of various series and things. I think generally this to me looks across the board the best team that we have had for Team of the Season so far, and I would expect you'll definitely see Mbappe and Neymar, I would say, in the ultimate Tots, given their price. But obviously we have got the Premier League Tots, which may take place of some of them, so it depends how many players they put out for the ultimate Tots as well. And obviously we do still have Serie A to come as well, so yeah, it's kind of hard to predict that, I suppose, with some of the rating upgrades and things as well. Like, hopefully Benzema will get one, and certainly what we're going to talk about in a minute, with him winning the Champions League now, definitely looks to get Ballon d'Or and deserves, rightfully, his Tots card this year.
So, yeah, you say about your red picks. I mean, I keep bloody missing out on 11 wins, so I'm only getting the one red pick, and for myself is Saliba that I managed to get. So yeah, I'm not having the best of luck during Team of the Season this year. I'd definitely say I had better luck last year than this year. But as for the Liga and Team of the Season, I think it is a very, 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 very good looking team. What do you think?
I think it is great, sort of high value cards. If you get one, most of the time, unless it's like three, you're pretty much looking at a dub in terms of performance. So when I think Fofana, I was shocked at how cheap he was, only because he was previously over a mil of his headliners. I think he's, what, 200k?
Yeah, he's sat at 190k at the moment. It is a bit shocking what his price is, especially when you compare it to the fact that you got Tchouaméni and Paqueta out there, who Tchouaméni's a little bit better, and Paqueta's got a bit more of an more shooting on his card versus like defending. So you would have expected Fofana to be in amongst those two.
It's the nation. It's the nation, and the fact that Paqueta's got 5-star skills is the extra sort of nail in that coffin. But yeah, I'd say Fofana's a very, very good card for that price. I've yet to try him out, but I'm definitely looking forward to. My red pick, on the other hand, I did stop at 9 this week. I could have pushed on, but gameplay was not fun. So for 9, I managed to get myself my favourite card this year so far in Demi Payet as the red pick.
That's not... I mean, yeah, you're happy with that, basically, because that's your the man that you kind of wanted.
Exactly. Even if it gave me the worst ones, technically, in terms of value, I'm getting a card that I like, that I enjoy. So I wasn't upset when it gave me Saliba. I think it was Lafont and Empire. I knew my decision straight away when I saw that.
As for the SBC that came out on Friday, Verratti came out. That isn't a bad looking card, to be fair, in terms of his stats. But I just think I am probably going to give him a pass, unless I really get lucky and get some decent like team and season cards in the upgrade SBCs or something like that.
I mean, you're telling me you didn't open like an 85 times 20 for this? Or are you saving that for Ultimate?
I did open up the 85 plus times 20 and I didn't get a league and team and season. I got 2 Portuguese league team and season. I've got Grimaldo and Adan in mine.
Not Adan. My goalkeeper.
And I also got Son, which doesn't help. Inform Son when I've already got his team and season. So
I mean, it's good for icon SBCs, which Brad knows all about. This would be the perfect time for him to chime in, but you know, Brad and icon packs go really well together. We always hear of the great success of how much he loves Thierry Henry, the only derby he actually ever gets, and it still doesn't work for him. So, I think it's less to do with bad packs, and he's not used to the cards that he gets.
Well, speaking of the SBC side of things as well, is the upgrade SBCs that came out at 6 o'clock this evening. EA have done probably one of the most utterly stupidest things that they could ever do. So, in chime with how they've done in the previous weeks with the upgrade SBC, so you got the premium players SBC, you got a player pick, and then you got some kind of league specific one where it would be like maybe one player over a minimum rating or 2 players over a minimum rating. So they decided this week, hey, why don't we do a 75 plus times 2 pack, but make the requirements essentially identical to the Premium League Earn Players pack, but 5 different on the chemistry side of things. So they cost exactly the same, but one will give you 2 players that are guaranteed to be over 75 rated, or the other one will give you 3 players guaranteed to be over 75 rated, plus 9 gold common cards. Like, what was going through EA's mind when they created the requirements for it, or the actual type of pack that they wanted to release?
I don't think the pack is the issue. I think, as you mentioned, it's the requirements. If they make that 5 or 6, then you can get it. You can sort of... you can understand it. But with it being... yes. With it being the same amount, yeah, you just get even more fodder as well along, because you're going to get more commons to put into the 81 doubles that are also out. Not the 81 doubles, the 81 player pick, you know what I mean? So you've got that to put in. It sort of recycles it better. If someone's doing this, they're probably making a very big mistake. Or they're just doing it for a tester video. I know I considered it, and then I saw how much of a scam it was.
Mm. You hit the nail on the coffin there, to be fair. Because of the pure fact that it's 11 rares going into the premium League Earn players. So you get your 9 gold commons, you get your 3 rares. But the player pick is only 8 commons and 1 rare. So basically you save a common card, and then you got the 2 rares. So you could put the 2 rares into another premium League Earn, and then the gold common can just be saved for something else, or can go back into another one afterwards. So it's almost a nice little rinse and repeat sort of cycle that you could potentially do. Obviously, you still need to find 9 other rares from somewhere, but you could just potentially buy those off the market from another league if you really wanted to. So it's quite a nice thing, but that 75 plus is just completely and utterly redundant, full stop.
It really is. You'd think they'd have had some range. At least if it's 6 or something, it makes you consider. The 81 plus player pick seems like it would make a lot more sense, even if it was, say, 6. But at least you'd have made people think about it rather than going, well, not doing that. Because they didn't pay out. I did a couple. And then I saw that it was the same value. I was like, oh no, that's stupid. I don't think I even got a board.
The last thing to talk about with the League and Team of the Season is the objectives. So we need a little callback right now to our League and Team of the Season predictions video. So although it's technically the other way round, but you did mention one of these players in that video, a Jork.
Yep.
How you was like saying, oh, he probably might be given as the SBC, but it turns out he was actually given as the objective.
I mean, that's too kind to me. I didn't even do it that well. I just said, Jork, I'm just going to pluck 2 names and say they're going to be these two. Because I said normally, normally I'll put logic into these, and I did. And I was like, if I was just going to chuck them out, I'll say Simon and a Jork are going to get cards.
Yeah.
And one of them was right. We don't know yet whether Simon's getting a card later in the week. That might have been a perfect prediction. You never know.
Yeah. And the other one is Dante, which, to be fair, he doesn't look too bad as a free card. 88 pace on his card, 93 defending, 93 physical. Not a bad looking centre back, Brazilian. So probably not too hard to link into teams. Plus, gets a strong link to Debo, who got community tots. So good combination.
It is, and a strong link to Marquinhos if you want him as well. That's not just bat away from mentioning Brazilians as a strong link.
Oh yeah, or Paqueta. Right, there's a couple available within this team of the season. So, you know, if you happen to get one of them, Dante is your man potentially for a link to them.
Exactly.
But that is it for League and Team of the Season. But that isn't the only Team of the Season that was out over the weekend. There was a couple of others, wasn't there, Luke?
Yeah, there was. And there were staggered releases as well, which you don't normally see. If EA are going to release something, normally it's, okay, Mini's going to be on the Sunday. But they decided to release them separately. So on Saturday, we got the Super League. So I got excited, as I think a few others did when they saw a 5-star skill, Mario Balotelli. Let's not talk about the amount of coins I lost on that, making the video on him. But there's exciting cards like that. You've got a couple of others, a few sort of headline players in there. So I'm trying to stall to pronounce his name. Nwakami, the Nigerian left winger. Fully butchered the name. You got Visca on the right hand side. Hamsik, who I think Hamsik's actually still a fair price. 200k. So he's got some very good Super League cards, obviously, outside of, say, Balotelli, Bazok, and Guilherme Silva. They're all going to be a slight pain to try and link into your teams, naturally. But there's a couple of good cards in there. I'd say a solid, if not spectacular. I liked the centre-back, the Korean centre-back. He was very good for me. But Batshuayi got the SBC for them, which I won't lie, I completely forgot he went to Besiktas this year. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I think because of packing him a few times as his normal card and stuff. But to be fair, he doesn't look that good, I would say.
Let's take a bit more of a detailed look. 4-star, 5-star. He's got 90 pace, 92 shooting. What's the shooting stat? 93 finishing, 97 shot power I'm okay with. Okay agility and balance. It's an alright card. It's not one I'd write home about in this part of Team of the Season, but it's still good enough. It'll do a job for 50k.
I swear when it first came out, it showed different skill moves and weak foot. That's why.
Yeah, no, four star, 5-star, according to trusty old Footbin.
Yeah, on the game it's showing that, but I swear to God, when I first saw it, it looked different to how it actually is now. Maybe I got him confused with somebody else.
Maybe. You might have looked at maybe a showdown SBC, I don't know. But
potentially.
In the meantime, we've got some Pro League, the Belgian League. Can't remember the last time I remember seeing a full Belgian League team come out. Has it ever come out? I know it used to be in cahoots with like the Dutch League at one point. But yeah, you've definitely got some good cards in here. You got a striker that's actually a centre mid in De Ketelaere. You got Ito, who's very good impact sub. Van Aken, another good centre mid. 4-star, 5-star. We got a Colombian right back. I'm very happy to see that as a fan of the Colombian teams. There's even an English centre back if you want to try and hybrid out. He's got 98 physical. I didn't even see that. Jeez. Okay, 98 physical on the English centre back.
98 physical on the Brazilian CDM as well.
It's a very, very strong Pro League team here. Although they do have arguably the hardest person to link in the whole game in Silimana. Decent looking card. I would use that at left mid in a 3-5-2. But he's from Comoros and not even a good Pro League size. KV Cordric. So, great impact sub from the looks of it. Or if you're just going committing to the full Belgian Pro League team. Apart from that, you won't see use. But what it's done, I think what the Pro League's done is given us a lot of good hybrid options. You've got a French goalkeeper, a Spanish left back, an English centre back. You've got a Dutch centre back as an objective in Wesley Hurt. It's not Wesley, is it? Oh, it is Wesley. I've good memory. Remember Southampton. We've got Undav, also known as Foot FG, still worth 630k. Because that card looks like an absolute monster. 4-star, 5-star, 95 pace, 95 shooting, 94 dribbling. What a card. Who would have thought that having a German striker in the Pro League, and 98 physical as well. They'd love 98 physical in the Pro League, I've noticed.
Yes, it does seem like that case. Certainly better than Adiemi's cards, that's for sure.
100% it looks better and hence it's a lot more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it looks really, really damn good. They've gone ham this week on the second sort of tier Team of the Season cards. So fair play to them. From what we're seeing, they might be doing that more in the future. Hopefully they do. Hopefully, say the MLS, the rest of the world coming up, Commable, all that lot, hopefully are going to be absolutely juiced, so we can at least get good use out of them.
Yeah, exactly. There is rest of the world, MLS, Carnival still to come, so there's still a good amount of minor leagues like to come out between now and the end of the team and season. I was just looking at the links to Selimani for his nation, at least. There isn't a great deal of options. However, there is a inform cam with 92 pace by doesn't really have much else going for him other than pace.
So you can't just surround them with icons and pray for the best. Well, you can, but you might as well get better player in Cam as well.
And a quick word from our newest sponsor of the podcast, Manscaped.
Thank you again to Manscaped for sponsoring today's episode of the Three Foot Tiers podcast. Manscaped have provided each of us with a version of the Performance Package 4.0, which includes their most advanced shaver yet, the Lawnmower 4.0, which comes with ceramic blades and skin-safe technology to ensure more precise shave, along with a LED light to help alongside. It also includes a weed whacker, which is for your nose and ears, to help try and keep those pesky hairs in shape. We also have some nice ball deodorant in the crop preserver and a crop reviver toner. And Manscaped are even kind enough to include a set of skin-safe boxes and a very convenient travel bag. And if that wasn't all enough, Manscaped have been kind enough to give us our own discount code, which will give you 20% off and free shipping with your order. That code is 3FOOTTIERS. Use code 3FOOTTIERS for any future purchase and you'll receive 20% off and free shipping. Thank you again to Manscaped for sponsoring the podcast.
The latest edition on Friday is we've had Tots Swaps 2 come out. I don't know why, but every time I say that, I'd rather say a P instead of a T in there and say Tops Swaps. It's a bit of a tongue twister for me.
I mean, I know. This isn't a tile place, you know.
Well, you know, Tops Tiles, get yourself some tiles. I can say that a lot easier. That's just rolls off the tongue.
This but part is not hashtag spawn, I will say.
Yeah.
Not sponsored by Tops Tiles yet.
Be an interesting sponsor for a FIFA podcast, that's for sure.
Oh, 100%.
But here is Brad with some more input on this subject. So, Brad, take it away.
So Tots Swaps 2 is out, and yeah, I mean, I'm happy with Tots Swaps in general as a promo. I think it's always good when people can sort of do things, SBCs, objectives and things to get free packs. I just think, again, I mean, the icons are still, again, a little bit lacking below the par of where we're at now in Team of the Season. So I think that Baggio and SEN aren't necessarily the kind of players that I would want to be seeing in this. I'd like to see more like a, you know, at this point in the game, something a little bit more higher tier, like a George Best or maybe like a Figo, something like that, you know, something that's a bit better. But, you know, in terms of the Tots Swaps, it's not too bad. We get 2 tokens for your rare players pack, 4 for 100k pack, 5 for an ultimate pack. But then you've got the 15 again for the 84 times 25, which I think a lot of people will go for and probably save until Ultimate Tots this time. So yeah, in general, I do like it, and I think it is good addition. And obviously, we've seen it in a lot of different promos this year, the swaps idea. So I do like that, and I like that they can give us something to grind for free, essentially.
So yeah, so there's Brad's opinions on Tots Swaps 2. So it's pretty much similar to how Tots Swaps 1 was, where you got obviously your packs available there. So whether you want to go for one of the Team of the Season specific things, or whether you want to go for the 84 plus times 20 again, that is available in there. 2 different icons. So this time out, we have got Baggio and Essien. But again, the icons are on the hefty side in terms of the amount of tokens that are needed for them. However, at the moment, it seems that EA have taken a little bit of a different direction with the swaps tokens at the moment, because pretty much most of them at the start were in SBCs. At the moment, majority of them are in the objectives. So if you're somebody that doesn't like doing objectives, unfortunately, you probably might not be able to get those 15. Unless somehow you do find the time and do some of those objectives. But what are you making of it? Especially with like the whole idea of mainly having to do the objectives to get hold of these tokens at the moment.
I mean, the objectives they've put them in are not kind. They're all the play 10 games ones, I'm pretty certain, with X team. So with 7 Pro League players is one of them for sure. Because that's from Wesley Hurt. And it's like, it's asking a lot of people who are probably starting to burn out on the game. I know a couple people who are starting to burn out. You're asking a lot of them if you're going to get them to do everything. So I doubt most people are going to complete most of those cards. Obviously, completionists like me will go ahead and do that and reap the benefits. But I think, obviously, I think 90% of the community are taking the 84 times 25. It's just inevitable.
Yeah.
Mine didn't pay off last time, I'm pretty certain. Although I did get Mbappe. But then getting Mbappe at this point is nothing to really shout about. We're at that nearly fodder point with every single gold card. So, not ideal.
Now, I know you're saying a lot of the community are going to go for that 84+. However, there is something that is very tempting for potentially a lot of people. That is one token less. So, for 14 tokens, you can get yourself a 1 of 3 league and team of the season pick. And as you said, at the moment, there's a lot of expensive players in there. So if somehow you can strike lucky with that player pick and get just one of them, that is quite good for the 14 tokens. Obviously, it is that risk sort of situation that you take with player picks or anything like that. You're hoping, but it might pay off, it might not pay off. But I think for some people it's tempting. Or you could go a bit further and go for 22 tokens, a 1 of 5 league earn.
That one might be tempting. Pick. That one might be tempting. I think 1 of 3, you're going to see the classic of, oh, we're going to get Payet, we're going to get Saliba, we're going to get Lafont, or you might just chuck in a Guendouzi or something. And that's it. Or, if you got one in red picks, say hello to that person as a duplicate.
Yes.
That's basically what's going to happen with these. If you looked at the ones of the Premier League previously, I believe in Tot Swap 1, it was always Declan Rice. Obviously, I know Ligon's got a lot more top heavy than the Premier League, which feels weird to say. But there is just a couple more cards that are not as valuable. So I'm expecting it to trip up a lot of people, and they're going to get a lot of annoyed customers with Lafont as their best player.
Yeah, that will. But it's the gamble everyone takes with those, similar to when you do the icon SBCs, to be fair. Like, you take the gamble and hope that it pays out, but pretty much, most of the time, I would say it just doesn't, but you got to take that gamble sometimes. You got to live life on the edge when it comes to FIFA, otherwise you'll never be able to upgrade your teams.
Yeah, and to be fair, by the time people are getting 15 tokens, it's pretty much ultimate team of the season at that point, is my next argument for why you do what I've said in that sense.
Yeah.
You get a team of the season, put it in.
And the one other thing I'm going to talk about with Tot Swaps, which is tying in with one of the tokens, but it also ties in with the league and team of the season, because it's that sort of like Tots Cup thing, like where we've had the Bundesliga, we've had the Prem, so now it's like the league and one. However, it's golden goal. First goal wins.
I'm such a fan. Like,
yeah. Like, people always been complaining about how people don't do golden goal. Well, they have no choice now, because as soon as the goal's scored, that's it. The game ends there and then on the spot. And I think this is fantastic. You get 5 tries, so luckily you get more attempts per day, but you do have to win more overall to, like, get the big reward. But you only have to win 3 to get that token anyway. So, you know, if you can get that golden goal, boom, there you go. Nice. You could do it in one day, essentially, or 2 days, or something, depending on how good or bad you are. But I think Brad will be the biggest fan of that mode, because he's probably the one that complains the most about people not doing golden goal out of us three.
Oh, 100%. I do get jaded by it a fair bit, though. With me, I think... I'm loving it, because I'm currently 9 out of 10 games here. Pretty 9 out of going. Possible 10.
I'm 4, so nowhere near 4 out of 10 that I've played.
So, and sure, we'll touch on it. I got my Ben Yedder from the 75 times 10 that you get from... I think it was from 9 wins. So I'm very happy with this game mode. It's given me a team of the season, Yedder. So that's good. That replaced
2
my...
mil plus Saipan.
Exactly. I think it's 2.3 possibly at this point. And I'm very happy. It replaces Amin Guiri, who's been a great servant to the club, but sometimes it's just time to move someone on. And when you get a 95 rated not icon. When you get a 95 rated team of the season, that's that damn good. Yeah, sorry, mate. You have to step aside. So, on to this week in football, where it was a week for finals. We've had about 3 finals in this time period. We're going to start off with the biggest game in football, the Champions League final. A lot of controversy about the policing in Paris. Don't want to get too much into that. But once fans did eventually get into the stadium, they got to see a game of, I guess, 2 halves. Liverpool very dominant in the first half, had a lot of chances, some great saves from Courtois. Honestly, man of the match by a country mile, doesn't even come close. What were your takes, Merz, on the disallowed goal? Is what I'm going to ask.
All I'm going to say is a recent statement by GH in talking about how things sometimes don't go in Liverpool's favour. That, for me, was such a biased decision going in favour of Liverpool. Because it was... it basically came off Konate, then it came off Fabinho and went into the path of, yes, an offside Benzema, but because of how it got to him in that sort of situation, he is then technically not offside, because the ball was accidentally but deliberately went in his direction, basically, and then he tapped it in. So I think that goal should have stood, but they worded it like, oh, it had to be a deliberate pass to Benzema. But as I said to my mate, who was watching the game with me, no Liverpool player in that situation is going to deliberately pass the ball anyway to an opposition player when the opposition player is offside. It's always going to be accidental, no matter what. So the wording is kind of a bit BS-y in that regard, but I do think that goal should have stood.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I do think it should have stood, but I swear there was a similar sort of an incident a couple years back with, I think it might have even involved Man City. They went in their favour. Who was it? Someone was coming back from an offside position in for Man City. They interfered with play, they scored. I can't remember, but I'm sure we'd have heard GH's opinion on that at the time, saying that it shouldn't have been given. He was offside. That he was offside as well, so at least he's staying consistent.
Yes.
It might have even been against Villa, you know. I think it was Villa versus City.
It might have been. To be fair, there's a few situations where that type of thing happens. I know, I think Man United had a similar situation, but that was called as a no-goal for Varane, where Maguire was offside.
Yes, I do remember that this season. Obviously, talk about the goal scorer, but I do want to touch on how good Courtois was, putting all the doubters who've not been the kindest to him down the years, I think is probably the best way to describe it. He's proved a lot of doubters wrong there, because he had the game of his life. I think the late save against Salah is the one that sums it up. It was, he couldn't have done much better if he tried.
To be fair, there's probably many examples in that match. Like, say, for instance, the hand to the save that he made that tipped it to the post and came off the post. That was another sublime save. But yeah, he had so many sublime saves. I think the problem is a lot of the criticisms boils down to his first season with Real Madrid, because when he first moved there, he didn't have the best of seasons. But I think after that point, I think he finally grown into that role in the club and got accustomed to the club, I would say, more than anything, because he's already accustomed to the role because he's been a goalkeeper for many years. But I think it's just that. But yeah, I think, to be fair, he's had a good season overall. It sort of shows why he got the team of the season card. Obviously, arguably, some people might have deserved it a bit more than Courtois for the team of the season card. But when you see something like that, yeah. I think he also will probably get a man of the match card for FIFA.
100%.
So he'll probably get another special. So yeah, well deserved. 100%. And some people are even saying, because of the pure fact that some were saying, like, oh, whoever wins the Champions League is probably going to go on and win the Ballon d'Or. So like Benzema or Salah. I even could say fucking Courtois should deserve a mention for Ballon d'Or. Just for that final in particular.
I don't think top three worthy, but I think he could be an option for a top 10 in the Ballon d'Or race, I reckon. I don't think quite... there's a reason only one goalkeeper in history has ever won a Ballon d'Or, and that's Yashin. So I don't think they're going to suddenly go, oh, Courtois had a great game here, did really well here. I think they're just going to sort of put that to one side, go, yeah, there you go, there's about 10th. But Vinicius Jr. getting the winner, I don't... What a ball in. Trent caught napping. Is this more... Trent needs to be more focused, or are we saying it was good play by Madrid, or a mixture of both?
A mixture of both. I think, as I think a lot of football fans would probably admit and say, Trent's strengths are more in the offensive side of things than defensive. Yes, he still does well defensively, but his strengths do lie in more the offensive side of things. I think he's more of a suited potentially for a three-back than maybe a four-back, but Liverpool do play a four-back, so that's not going to change anytime soon under Klopp.
Yeah, I agree. I will say that I don't believe this whole, I'm going to say myth, that Trent's not good defensively. He is good, just comparing him to the rest of the Liverpool defence. The rest of the Liverpool defence is more solid, but he's still a very good defender. It's just his output offensively is second to none. The second final we're going to discuss is going to be the Conference League between Feyenoord and Roma, in which, who'd have guessed it, Jose Mourinho, the man to win the first ever Conference League. Are you surprised at all? I know I ended up chucking Feyenoord out just to be different last week, but are we really surprised that Mourinho's gone and won a trophy? The only team that he didn't win was when he got sacked just before a final. So his record's unparalleled.
Well, even as Mourinho says, when he's talking about the amount of trophies he wins, or won, should I say, he even includes that as a 0.5, that Tottenham, getting sacked just before the final. I think he says, oh yeah, I've won X 0.5 finals, even though obviously he never actually played in that final, because to be fair, he has not lost a final, Jose Mourinho. He knows what to do. His style of football, I guess, is perfect for finals when you need to be a bit more dogged, I suppose, similar to like how Real Madrid did against Liverpool. I'd say in some ways the way Feyenoord played was potentially a bit wasteful. Like, there was a bit of selfish play a fair bit going on. Like, didn't seem like a proper cohesive team. Like, no, like, oh, okay, pass it off and then someone else shooting or something like that. It didn't seem like Feyenoord in other matches in this tournament.
I've not watched too much of the Conference League since about December for no discernible reason. There's no particular reason I stopped watching. Definitely no. But as you say, I sort of caught glimpses of the final. They had chances, but they were mainly selfish. If they played a bit more cohesive, who knows, they might have broke down that Roma defence. From what I saw, Rui Patricio had a great game, so maybe it's just the week of the goalkeepers.
Certainly was. Not goal fest, anyway. Goalkeepers definitely did their paycheck.
Yeah. Here's Jot. I will mention a Klopp quote from this week. What is your thoughts on his statement about saying it's not been a good final if the goalkeeper gets man of the match or something along those lines? I'll try and find the actual quote in a second. But what was your take on that? Was that sort of sour grapes, or do you think he's got a point?
Sour grapes, I'm sorry, but you don't employ a goalkeeper to let in goals, right? You employ them to make saves. They're the last line of defence. And if they're making saves and earning themselves man of the match, then they're doing the job right. Yeah, maybe you could ask how the defence is letting the opposition maybe have so many shots for the goalkeeper to make the saves. But the fact that the goalkeeper earns a man of the match, I think that statement's a little bit disrespectful towards goalkeepers.
Mm. Yeah, if the exact quote is, when the goalkeeper is man of the match, then something is wrong.
No, because like, he had an exceptional game. Like, it is very much, it sounds like a sour grape sort of like situation.
I mean, like, some would say that the problem's with the attack at that point. That means you're not hitting the chances quite correctly. A goalkeeper, if we're considering any sort of situation, if you hit the ball well enough, the keeper stands no chance. So, is it not the Liverpool attack's fault for not being clinical enough, rather than pointing out, oh, Real Madrid just sat deep? And because this isn't the first time he's criticised teams recently. I think back to the press conference with Tottenham when they got the draw. He complained about the play style, how he could never do that. That sort of play style, that's not what he is about. Do you think it's Klopp's now just starting to get a bit, I can't think of the word I'd use here, because I'm not going to say anything like found out, because he's not been found out, that's just false. But do you think he's starting to not lose his head, but yeah, do you want to say lose his head, get a bit rattled at the moment?
I think it is maybe a little bit he's been rattled, but also I think he doesn't have a good track record with finals as well. That is the problem.
I think it's about 40%.
That he did win again in terms of Champions League finals against Tottenham was not exactly the best of finals either.
No,
let's just be said.
I agree. It's almost, I don't know if I mentioned this the other week, but it feels like Klopp sets up for a final in different ways. Like, he seems to just be a lot more reserved. You associate Liverpool season with high pressure, blitzkrieg mentalities at times. Every sort of other final, they had more possession on this occasion, but in the Tottenham one and in I think the first Real Madrid one, they had more possession than Liverpool. Liverpool are the ones sort of seeming to sort of play on the counter and the like. So it's, I don't know if they just characteristically change their style of play for the final, whether they're just more reserved. But something that is key stat, I know Liverpool fans listening are probably going to absolutely crucify me saying this, but no goals in finals all year. They've been to three of them. They did create some good chances in all of them. We're not going to say that they just sat back and cruised their way through, but you think for a side of Liverpool's attacking prowess all season long, with a golden boot winner, a bunch of people in 15 goal region, that they'd have scored one in a final if they'd gone to three of them.
Yeah, especially against Chelsea in the two finals, you would have probably expected a bit more out of Liverpool in those ones at least.
I will cover myself in saying they did score some offside goals in those finals. But you would think that Liverpool would have the firepower to at least see them through. It does sort of baffle me.
It is, but we can't forget about like Mr. Brad as well and his opinion on the Champions League final. So
yes.
Let's just quickly play his clip.
So the UCL final was pretty... I don't want to say lackluster. I want to say that, like, I felt like it was going to be a cagey affair all the time. Obviously, Liverpool dominated attack, and that was always going to be the case. I think Real Madrid will be happy to sit back, have possession, and try and wait for their chance. And obviously, I did predict from the second, from after the first leg of the PSG. I said, do not be surprised if Real Madrid turn this around and win the Champions League. And obviously they did. They shouldn't really have even gotten through from Man City, but they managed to get two goals there to take it to extra time and then win. It's just in their, like, it seems like it's in their DNA, like in their mentality. Like the Champions League is their competition. Like it's something they step up for and come through. And you could see at the end how much it meant to some of them, like Marcelo looking like it was his last sort of season. He was really emotional. Alaba was really emotional because obviously he's come from Bayern Munich and then come over and won the Champions League with Real Madrid. He was really emotional at the end. I think Courtois deserves a kind of standout mention from what I saw. So I saw it from about the 62nd minute onwards. I didn't get to see it all. The guy made some insane saves there, and apparently he'd been making insane saves all the way through the game. The one notably for me was when Salah was clean through, I sort of half-volleyed it on the right foot, and that save was insane. Like most keepers, that's a goal, but he just seemed like he was almost impossible to get the ball past, and that's kind of what you want, isn't it? If you're going to invite attacks on from a team like Liverpool, then you need a solid goalkeeper there. What I didn't like was sort of, I did watch more specifically, like from the 80th minute onwards, is Real Madrid sat completely back and just invited Liverpool on. And I always think at that stage in that game, with how important it is, such a dangerous thing to do. I understand why they do it, but it's so dangerous to invite a team like Liverpool to do that in the last 10 minutes of a game because they could easily pick up a goal there. But they defended quite well. When they then got possession, they didn't just boot it upfield. They did try and keep it for as long as possible. And there were a couple of times, actually, where they broke through because Liverpool had pushed so many players forward that I thought they were actually just going to get a second goal and seal it off. But that didn't happen. They had the offside towards the end where someone did put it in the back of the net from like the halfway line. But yeah, that was obviously offside, so it didn't count. All in all, though, I think, obviously their story through the Champions League final, nearly out to PSG, should have been out to Man City, and then coming through and win it. I mean, it's incredible. It's a shame for Liverpool. I know a lot of people don't like Liverpool as a team for whatever reasons. People just don't want to see them succeed over other teams. And, like, it is a shame for them that they had four titles potentially available to them and obviously have only come away with two. But it is what it is, you know. They've just been beaten by the better team on the night in terms of the way they went about their business. And obviously Man City didn't mess up quite enough to give them the Premier League either. So, yeah, they have their cup titles for this year. But, you know, it gives them some more drive next year going into the season, hoping to maybe not worry about those cups so much, but focus on the league and focus on the Champions League and hopefully pick up one of those big trophies next year.
And we got one other final, isn't it, Luke? Which final? This is the final that I haven't watched, so you'll definitely know more about it than me.
So this is the playoff final between Huddersfield and Nottingham Forest, in which the game... to sum it up, Nottingham Forest do deserve the win in terms of how they played. I felt they were the better team on the day. Huddersfield did not create much. But there was about two or three penalty shouts that day, one of which absolutely should have been given, and I would not hear anything otherwise. He's collapsed into the man after catching him on the leg. It's clever play by the forward at that stage. He's come across the man. It's almost like he's instigating the contact himself. He's not made contact with the player. He's put himself in between the ball and the player, and he's then gone into him and taken him down. The referee's not giving it. John Moss retiring at this stage. That was his final game. And I'm not shocked based off that performance. So Nottingham Forest deserving, I know we've said Notts County. So Nottingham Forest deserved the win on the day, but definitely some controversy around it. But Nottingham Forest back in the Premier League finally after about 24 years, I think they said, something along those lines. It might have been 98, 99 they were last in. So it's going to be good. City fans are going to be dreading that because they will start chanting something along the lines of a European Cup, you'll never win that. So that's good.
Yes.
Are you excited to see Forest back?
I'm glad that they're back. I think they're like one of those sort of teams that probably have long been due to return to the Premier League. They're one of the, like, from when I was growing up, a staple of the Premier League. So seeing them back in it is a good thing. However, I've got to say, they are kind of losing a lot of their core players that helped them get into this position, into the Premier League anyway, because a lot of them were loan players.
Mm-hmm.
So they've either got to try and do something over the summer. So for me, I'm almost probably, if I was doing a prediction, probably going to put one of them, put them down as one of the three teams to go down next season.
I mean, I need to take a good hard look at myself based off my predictions this year. I think I got two right. Might have only got one, but they were horrific. I should not be allowed to make predictions ever again based off that. Who says Brighton are getting relegated and Villa are finishing sixth? No, fifth. Not even that. Fifth. Who says that? I want to know what I was on at the time. Honestly,
just say it's a lesson learned. You know, you'd learned from your lessons, and you next season you know roughly more sensible sort of predictions. But to be fair, I don't think anybody can get 20 out of 20 anyway.
Oh, no.
I think it's even getting 10 out of 10 is quite hard. To be fair, because as you said last week, on the final day, all the teams could switch position in the table anyway. So, and when you look at the table, generally speaking, anyway, from normally about 12th down to, from 12th to about 17th or something like that, they're always so close together that one win could make your prediction completely off or correct.
Mine weren't even close. I said Norwich would stay up. Norwich! Who says Norwich are finishing in 16th?
Well, you know, to say Fulham to finish bottom, like maybe next season, yeah?
I really want to, but you know, no, investments can happen. You never know. We'll see at the time. Mm. I'll see what sort of powers I've got around at the time to try and make better choices. Because turns out sober me couldn't make a good decision at the time, so why not?
On to the Q&A. And, well, again, Brad, although he's not here, he's still supplying to this podcast. He has even supplied a question to the podcast. So, cue the question.
Right, so Q&A time, and I have a question for Mers and LAJS. So this is basically just based around kind of us as content creators and things. What I want to ask them is, who is your favourite content creator who you would like to collab with, and what series would it be on? So what I mean from this is, obviously, we all kind of watch YouTube series, or most of us will watch YouTube content, and not all of them necessarily. Some of them have their staples, the people that they have on the series who are like iconic to that series. Like you have like Team Takedown, which is obviously Capgun Tom's series, but like Andy and Jack seem to be like the best sort of fit against him for those series. And you have that kind of in a couple of them. Like we have Atani on Squad Builder Showdown. You know, he goes across there and there's always a joke about the teams he builds and things like that. So what I'd like to know is, not necessarily that content creator with their own series, but what content creator and what series would be your ideal pairing to do a video with?
So thank you, Brad, for supplying the question for me and Luke. So I think it's a very interesting one because there's a lot of YouTube series out there. Like, say, for instance, you've got Squad Builders Showdown, you've got Team Takedown, 7-Minute Squads. There's even some of the smaller ones. There's Rival Squads that Curbs does. So there's plenty of series to potentially pick from, but he's added a twist on there, which is obviously selecting not necessarily the creator of the series to do the video with. It's any content creator. So it's like somebody that you like the personality of, that you can see yourself like matching up against. And there is quite a lot of good personalities, like obviously Danny Aaron's potentially is a good personality to potentially collab with. I mean, for me, series wise, I think it has to, I'm going with the obvious one, Squad Builder Showdown, right? I've watched that for many, many years. It is the one that I would always make sure that I'm going out of my way to watch, like, if I see it. Whereas in some of the other ones, I might miss an episode. So for me, it's Squad Builder Showdown. I'm going to have a little think about the content creator side of things. Maybe, Luke, you want to have an input?
Yeah, so I think I've got my full answer. So mine is a left field one. It's one you see come up in sub boxes a lot, but it's not one you'd think of in this sense. I would want to be on FIFA Millionaire. And that then opens up the question to be, who would you want to partner on FIFA Millionaire? Because it's done as a duo all the time. So I think I'd bounce off either really well, because I'm either someone similar or someone parallel opposite. So I'm really sarcastic, sort of dry humour. So maybe an Itani in that sense. Or if we're going the opposite, maybe a V10 Vernon, really high energy, excitable content creator. Or Danny Aaron's in that sense. But I think we'll settle on, just because we get on really well, I'm going to settle for the Itani side of matters. So Itani and me on... knowledge. I need to think ball knowledge, because it's actually FIFA Millionaire. So I think ball knowledge, I'll go Vernon. So I'll go with Vernon, final answer.
Yeah. Itani would not be probably the best person to take on to a normal knowledge series, especially when that man only builds one league teams and stuff. So.
And a goalkeeper of the same nation. God, it's two league hybrid of an icon.
Yep. Or free league, if you're counting that icon as a separate, you know, potentially.
But I think if we're talking sort of different series at that stage, if we're talking actually involving FIFA as opposed to knowledge, I think, yeah, Team Takedown's a safe bet. But also FIFA Bingo. I know Tom doesn't do FIFA Bingo often, but sort of a nice pack opening series, nice sort of chill vibes at the time, whilst also trying to keep your eyes peeled. I think that's also a good shout.
I think if I would take thinking of the content creator side of things, I think Pieface. Pieface, and I think me and Pieface almost have little bits in common. Like, we can get very fucking angry very quickly, like, with this game. That's one thing for sure. I think I show my anger a lot more than Pi does, but probably not to sometimes the length that he might go to. But I think that would be a good one, and also being able to talk for ages. But Brad, I'm going to deflect the comment back to you if you're listening to this. Put it in our Discord, who you would say for content creator and series. Might as well. You know, it's your question. I want to hear yours, because you are part of this podcast as well. You are a member of the Free Foot tier, so in some ways I want to hear your answer, and then that way members of Discord can see what you say as well. But moving on to other questions, I did leave it late in Discord to get some questions. So we'll start off with Venom. So he's asking, when building player picks, how many do you usually do at a time? I don't think I have a fixed answer on this, but normally I would have a normal, like, fixed amount. Like, I wouldn't go, oh, I'll just build 17 or something like that. I'll try and build, like, maybe 1, 3, 5, 7, 10 or something like that.
Yeah, I think 3 and 5 are my normal ones if I'm just doing it casually. Obviously, we've got Pact of the Future, so 10 sometimes pops up. But if I'm going to commit to something, I'm going to make it the big 5-0.
That's if it's for a video, basically. Or for stream. But obviously, doing 50 is surprisingly takes a lot to do. Because you get to maybe about 20 or 25, and then suddenly you realise everything's been used up in your club, and then you're having to buy things to finish it off.
the worst feeling ever is seeing that happen early on. If you're like, I remember one time I said, "Oh, I'm gonna make this many player picks," and then realised I ran out at about 12, and that was a painful day for my coin balance. But we got there in the end.
That is it. Like, if I want to buy the fodder to do it as well whilst alive, sometimes that is a big coin drain as well, because sometimes, like today, I can imagine, because it's mainly a lot of gold commons are going to increase, so you probably might even see a double price increase for it. So it goes from maybe costing 3k to do one to 6k to do one, just because of it has more commons in it as well. So, but yeah, for me,
say it with me, Merz, say it with me, what's the solution to that? The bronze pack method.
Bronze pack method. No. The solution is go to u7buy.com.
Not spawn. I thought Brad was the one that did this kind of stuff.
It had to be done. He's not here. Someone had to say it instead. I'm doing it for Brad instead.
you're his representative.
Exactly. Someone's got to do it in spirit.
He's not even u7buy. I can't remember which one he said, but he's not a u7buy kind of guy.
But I swear that's the one that he normally says.
He normally says it like in jest. I think he's saying in jest, yeah. But he doesn't. He's not that guy.
And then it wouldn't be a Q&A without GH. GH, thank you for supplying questions as always. Highest, but like he doesn't even word it right. I'm just gonna have to say this, like. Performance. That's the word that you're looking for. Best and not even highest and lowest. It should be best performance and lowest performance per player.
Best and worst performer.
Yeah, okay. Basically. For your club this season, in your opinion, and he says from players that have played a good amount of football, basically, the regulars. Rather than someone that might only play 5 matches or so a season. So, okay. I think I know who my lowest is.
Yours is obvious.
Highest?
Your lowest is obvious.
I
think my highest is fairly obvious.
Saying my lowest is obvious. I think... I'm going to say Lacazette anyway for the lowest.
Okay. That's not Nuno Tavares. Okay. I'm thrown off by that.
See, I'd say, because the problem is Tavares isn't properly like the regular. The regular is Tierney, but then again, yeah, but Tierney has had a fair amount of like injuries. Yes, Tavares has probably played a fair amount, but I think the problem is from Lacazette, you kind of expect him to be scoring goals. Like, not necessarily a sheer huge amount of number, you expect him to at least get into double figures. He hasn't done that. And I think that has been the biggest disappointment. Like, Aubameyang left in January. You hope that he steps up to the plate, scores some goals, fill in the void, like, help carry us towards that, like, top four battle and get us top four. But it didn't really show. And he basically ends up getting dropped for Nketiah, who... for God's sakes, has signed a contract with Arsenal, which is not great. I don't like that.
5 years, 100 grand a week, yeah? I believe.
God, it's worse. Just should have left.
I looked up Tavares, by the way. 22 games played this season in the Premier League.
Good number, but I'd say Lacazette still deserves it more than Tavares, to be fair.
That's fair. I think mine... There's the answer that I'd say I've been saying for ages of the one I don't like, which is Emerson Royale. But I don't think I'm going to go with him. As much he's been improved the last month or two that I think saved him. The man I'm going to say, it hurts me to say him. I'm just going to get out of the way. Lucas Moura. I know he's not been given the most game time, but Lucas Moura, you expect more from him. He just seems really inconsistent this season. Bergwijn at least had that hot sort of patch against Leicester. I can't really think of anything that's been done by Lucas Moura. But if we're talking starting 11, has to play a certain amount of times, I think it's Emerson Royale.
Yeah, to be fair, with the Lucas Moura, sometimes the problem is in previous seasons, his performances go under the radar a lot of the time. Like, he's a very underrated player, Lucas Moura.
Mm.
But I can't say I've noticed him this do anything this season. The ones that obviously stand out, and I'm guessing one of the two that stands out is probably your best performer.
Yeah, so you could name any of the front three that start these days. If you want to take the half season to account, Kulusevski's been insane since joining.
Mm-hmm.
He's got better numbers than Luis Diaz, who's even hit the ground running for Liverpool. So if Luis Diaz is considered to be a great signing for Liverpool, imagine what Kulusevski would be to a smaller side in that sense. But I think it's hard to look past Heung-min Son has been so good for us this season. Even when Kane sort of had a slow start to the season, when he down tools a little bit, Son was there getting the big result against City, which, you know, actually helped give Liverpool a lifeline.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, yeah, I think it's hard to look past Heung-min Son.
For me, there's a couple of names that are possibilities. So Odegaard, Saka, Tomiyasu, all possibilities for best performer. For me, I am going to say Tomiyasu rather than Odegaard, because I think the sign of Tomiyasu is the big difference maker in like our performances defensively when he was fit and in the starting lineup. And I think that, again, is a difference maker between us like finishing, I don't know, 7th, 8th or something like that versus the 5th that we actually got.
So like the decline you had the last half of like maybe 2 months of the season, outside of sort of the big game, surprisingly, you'd say that was fairly down to him not being a more so than say Tierney.
Exactly. I think Tierney's been missed as well, but this just the signing of Tomiyasu, it's been very noticeable within the team. Again, like Odegaard is noticeable, but Odegaard was also there for the second half of last season as well as alone. And to be fair, like when you look at Odegaard's output, it's good, but kind of maybe would expect more. But then again, I think that's probably down to the fact that Lacazette has underperformed and Nketiah just isn't realistically a top half of the table quality striker, in my opinion. And again, I'm going to say, and you have said this, which is Nketiah has had a good April, May and stuff. But I would say that is just a fluke. I think that's just a fluke. You can just look back at many, many players in the Premier League history.
Rocket Santa Cruz.
Yeah, that have had like a good month or two period. And in fairness, the guy had to do it either to get a new contract, which he's got, or to sort of show off what he could potentially do to suitors that will want to sign him as a free agent. So a lot of players kind of start doing that at the end of the season. So that's what Nketiah did realistically. Maybe Odegaard output will improve next season and then he could be like the best performer next season or something. But for me, it's Tomiyasu because just the difference maker he made in defence.
Oh, I honestly think the fact that Saka's not even being mentioned. You mentioned him as like a footnote. Mm. I think he's been more influential personally than those two.
He has been.
Because it's not sort of anything to that sense. It's just the pure, flat-out best. I mean, you're entitled to your opinion, but do you honestly think that they've been better than Saka has been?
Oh, I think, again, like, when you look at certain games and stuff like that, Saka has been a difference maker and been quite important and influential and stuff, but I would say, again, the sort of, I think it's down to him and Tommy and and Odegaard, but I'm going to stick to it. I'm going to stick to Odegaard. I think in terms of the cap capacity, the full ability down in the future, because they're all young at the end of the day, which is good, because they've all got their prime years to head into, and who's going to probably have the best prime years? It's probably going to be Saka. But I think just kind of would have expected a little bit more in certain points in the season from Saka.
No, I respect you doubling down on it. I just thought I'd just poke the bear a little bit.
It's fine, it's fine. But yeah, doubling down, tripling down. Full win, all in. All my chips on the table on Tomiyasu. And that's why I say, like, I look forward to next season as well, and trying to see what Arteta does next with the team.
Mm.
Similar to you with Conte and your team.
Yeah, and obviously the Perisic rumours at the moment. It's Perisic and Forster are currently the two most likely to be signing for Spurs at the moment.
Perisic would be good. Versatility.
Yeah, very, very good utility player. Two-year contract, I think, the rumour I've heard. I think it's confirming more in the coming days, but he should be very good.
And someone that has worked under Conte as well, so...
And even this season, whilst not playing under Conte, he's been working at wing-back, as you can see by some of his FIFA cards. So, it'd suit the system. Reguilón not performing, Sessegnon being okay. Natural progression.
But that is it for this week's Q&A. Please feel free to join our Discord with the link down in the description, so you can join, send your Q&A questions in for that. Thank you everybody that did submit your questions at the last minute, so we actually managed to have the Q&A questions, and Brad for sending in his question. Brad will be back next week, and it will be normal business for that. And thank you again to Manscaped for sponsoring the podcast. So if you want to get 20% off your next order and shipping, use code 3FOOTTIERS on the checkout. Thank you, Luke, for being on this week's episode.
No problem, anytime.
And we will both see you next week for the next episode. Bye-bye, guys.
Peace out, guys.